Welcome to the Property Profits Podcast. My name is Travis Wells, and I will be your host every single week. It is my job to bring on a specialist in every part of real estate, whether that be retail, big commercial, luxury, flipping, land, you name it. I cannot wait to introduce you to these people because there are masters at their craft out there. At the end of each podcast, my mastermind group will come on and Q&A with these people and ask real-time, real-life questions so that we can all learn. I cannot wait to see you on my podcast.
Thanks for coming on. Stoked to have you. Appreciate you being here. If you wouldn't mind, introduce yourself. Who are you? What do you do? All that good stuff.
Sure. So my name is Zach Greenberg, and I own Coastal Real Estate Professionals and Coastal Management Professionals. So I've been a broker owner for 10 years, and I've been in a real estate agent for 12 years. And all of our growth to this point has all been organic referrals, repeat customers, you name it. And along the way, what interested me, and thank you for allowing me to be here, Travis, what interested me in this podcast and, you know, speaking to you guys was the investing aspect, because I've always been interested in that. And along the way, I've had a lot of clients that have flipped properties that I've helped them with. And I've done a few flips myself and have picked up several rental properties. So, you know, personally, for production, my wife and I, we do about 10 plus million per year. And as a brokerage, we do about 50 million a year, give or take.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I like that y'all coined the coastal thing on everything. I like when somebody gets a name and uses it for everything. I do the same thing. So awesome. How'd you get started? How'd y'all get started? What's the road to greatness, man?
So I started working when I was in high school for a bank. I was actually 16, and I got interested in real estate because I saw all these business customers coming in and a lot of investor clients, and I would ask questions, and you know, we would talk. And at the time, the banking industry started to change a lot. It became a lot less robotic and a little bit more relationship based and salesy. But I wasn't in too much into the sales part of it, more the relationship part. And I got to know all these different business owners, and I got to know these different investors, and I sort of started to get a feel for what I thought would be a good combination of building relationships, investing, and being self-employed. So real estate sort of fit that mold. So from the get-go, as soon as I graduated high school, I went straight into college, and then right after, I ended up getting my real estate license when I was 20, and I knew from the very beginning that I wanted to be a broker. So that was my intention from the beginning. So while I was, you know, doing my 2 years to be able to qualify to be a broker, I started to build a small team, hired an assistant, had a couple of agents under me. And that way, when we opened the brokerage, we were totally prepared to do so.
You make that sound pretty easy. Like, did you have help? Did you have mentors? You just say, this is what I'm going to do?
So I've always been a self-starter. So I read a lot of books along the way, and I really, you know, let everything that was being said around me, I really took it all in and, you know, tried to build my future. Unfortunately, I didn't really have any mentors. You know, things probably would have been a lot easier along the way, but, you know, it is what it is. But what I learned along the way is, if you always do the right thing and focus on the relationship first, everything sort of falls into place. And, you know, I've always been really coachable, and I realized that there's always going to be somebody that's better than you that is, you know, doing something at the next level. And those are the people that you really want to try to learn from and give back to everybody else around you along the way.
That's fair enough, man. So how long did it take you to get rolling? Like, for people that want to be a broker, that want to get, you know, retail side, be successful, make some money, Like, how long did it take you to get rolling? You know, from, hey, go do open houses and whatever you got to do to start.
That's a great question. And what we say to our new agents is, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's a grind. And for me, what it took was about 100 relationships that I built via transaction side. So 100 transaction sides. Obviously, the first step to that is getting leads coming in so you can start building relationships with people. And whether that's going to a brokerage that provides leads or learning ways to potentially get those leads coming in so you can start building these relationships. And it all sort of snowballs. It's very difficult and challenging at first. I mean, during my first 6 months, I only closed one transaction side and I almost quit. I was done. And all the work that I put in those first 6 months equated to over 50 transactions in months 7 through 12. And the rest is really history. It snowballed in year two from all the referrals and repeat customers. And I knew the value of working with investors and building a good relationship and doing the right thing and being flexible. Because, you know, every single deal is different and it starts to get unique and a little bit creative. So once we got to the 100 transaction side number and we built all those relationships, at that point, it's just a matter of staying in touch with people and continuing to strategically grow your business the way that you want to and target different areas and things like that.
That's a real answer, dude, because I asked you that for that reason, because people get in and they don't make a check like for months, maybe a year, yeah. Right? Like, and it's like, are you freaking nuts? But like some people do, some people don't. But if they don't, they quit. And that's why I asked you that, because it takes that much, right? How much prospecting, probably now you get a lot of referrals, but how much prospecting does it take like for somebody getting going and getting started and generating that book of business, you think? Like how many calls per day, texts, whatever, like if you had to put just a metric on it?
As many as you possibly can. Any second that's devoted to work that you're not out showing or learning or in, you know, your office's meeting or whatever, it needs to be spent prospecting. And it needs to be done on the phone. Don't get me wrong, like text and email, those things need to happen, but those are secondary to picking up the phone and calling. The conversion rates on phone calls when somebody answers are going to be much higher than most of the other ways. Don't get me wrong though, it's challenging, especially for people that are new to it, because they're not used to the rejection of people not answering or people hanging up quick or whatever. So, you know, with lead generation, you can figure out how to get more serious people or if you're into cold calling. I know some agents that are really successful that love cold calling and they love the rejection and the low conversion rates. And they're super happy when something goes through. But for us, we try to target people that are opting in multiple times before we reach out.
Cool. And I know you want to get to the investing part, property management part, all that stuff. You do a lot. I've got to ask you, because you've been a broker for a while, you've been in this game. What's up with this NAR or what's up with this NAR thing? Like what's going on with the commissions and all this stuff?
So ultimately, I think it's going to be a good thing for the industry. I think it's going to be a really bad thing for first time home buyers and low income and middle to low income. In some markets, it's really going to be market dependent, depending on whether it's seller's market or buyer's market or a neutral market. And a neutral market or a buyer's market, it's not going to be that challenging to, you know, first of all, we have to enter into, if this goes through, we have to enter into buyer broker agreements with every single buyer that we take out before we take them out, if we're an NAR member, which most of us through MLS are. And with that, there's going to be compensation we're entitled to if they buy a home. During a neutral market or a buyer's market, most sellers are going to be willing to pay. So the buyer at the end of the day isn't going to be willing to pay. Now, the challenging part is that the field in the MLS for commissions is going to be removed. So it's going to mean a lot more work for realtors, which is fine. Like, you know, if you get in, you get out what you put into something, right? So we have to answer our phones. If we don't answer our phones, we're not successful anyways. So with that, we are going to have to find out what the commission is being offered when we have a buyer on a listing while we're setting it up. But I've always led with not worrying about that. And I've always led with not worrying about what the exact commission is. I don't even pay attention to the fields now when I take somebody out. I only pay attention once, you know, we're negotiating a deal on a property. So during a seller's market, it's going to be super challenging for first-time home buyers and low to middle class, because, you know, a lot of them are going to have a hard time saving up the money to pay their agents. And if they go direct to the listing agent, it's sort of the same thing as, you know, your spouse asks you for a divorce and you go through their attorney to handle everything. So, yeah. You know, unfortunately, it's going to be what it's going to be. I feel bad for a lot of people. I feel bad for a lot of agents in the industry, because I think that there's going to be a lot that fall out of the industry, but the people that do the right thing, that care about their relationship and lead with value, I think they're going to be more successful than ever, honestly. I think it's a real good thing for the industry overall, and we really should be using buyer broker agreements anyways. And it holds both realtors and it holds the buyers accountable. So
that's a fantastic answer, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, on the property management, so you built this brokerage, you're doing all this business on the retail side, then you open a property management company with your wife too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, how's that look?
So we do everything together, because that, you know, in my position, it's sort of the only way to be in a serious relationship, because working nonstop, calls at all hours, texts at all hours, emails at all hours. And obviously there's boundaries put in place. But we found out as soon as we got serious that the best way to do this was to work together on everything. So we work together on the real estate, the property management, everything. And for us, it's great. I mean, I know it's not meant for everybody, but the property management, we're super excited about. We started property managing out of a necessity for some of the investors that we've been working with, where they were like, hey, we want to be hands off. We want to work with a property manager. Do you recommend somebody? And instead of trying to find somebody, we decided that, you know, we've already been doing this for ourselves, for the few properties we have. We might as well start doing property management too. So just this year, actually, we launched a new company called Coastal Management Professionals, because we were running everything through the brokerage prior. So we're looking to grow that now and start bringing on some more investor clients that want to be hands off, and we'll handle the management for them and do things the way we always have, putting the relationships first.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I always have a lot of respect for property management companies, because that is not an easy gig. No. You know, how did y'all get that started? And then how are y'all, I know, is it just word of mouth, because you've been in the industry on the retail side so long? I mean, how are y'all scaling that now?
Yeah. So we got that started from our existing client base. And then it's the same thing. It's referrals, repeat customers. We cooperate with other agents from other brokerages that will refer us property management contracts to. We offer up the listing side of the first lease commission to them as a referral fee. And any other transactions that come out of it in the future, we send it right back to them. So we're not competing with them on the retail side. We're just looking to help them on the property management side.
Cool, man. And we'll go over to investing. You know, I know that's your passion right now, and you're really looking at that too. So what are you doing on that side of things? I know you've got some rentals. How does that look?
So we actually just closed on a triplex a couple months ago. So we started out with, obviously, before we were together, I had a condo. I lived there. She had her place. Once we got together, we ended up buying a place together that we moved into. This is going several years back. And we rented out my condo. And then we bought a rental property, another condo together after that. So now we're on two. And then she bought one on her own. So now we're at three. And then we ended up buying our forever home. And once we did that, the house we were living in before, we rented it out for a little bit until the numbers didn't make sense. The free cash flow compared to the equity that we had in it We could just find something better elsewhere. So we sold that, and fast forward to just recently, we rolled that over into a triplex. So the next step for us is either looking for another triplex, a quad, or some sort of commercial space with multiple units. We're big on holding real estate long term, and you know, eventually refinancing, pulling that out to acquire more real estate to really go after the cash flow, sort of the same model as the property management.
So I know a lot of people, you know, that have spouses, partners, whatever, they want to get into this real estate game, and it's kind of a leap of faith, right? And then doing it together, there's a partner that's less apprehensive or more or whatever. Were y'all on the same page or the whole time, or were you like, who was ready? Is it was one of y'all ready to pull the trigger and the other wasn't? Like, how'd that balance look?
So we're very fortunate. We're not the norm. We're on the same page all the time. And like, people ask us the same question separately and we answer it the same way. It's really weird. But we're really lucky. So we just work really well together, and we both know at the end of the day, we're both looking out for, you know, each other, and they're just trying to build the future together. So it's not an easy thing working with spouses. And of course we get into arguments and we have disagreements, but you just work through it. And we're really fortunate that we've been able to do that.
And so go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Is this all through just traditional bank financing? How does the finance, the reason I'm asking these things is because there's probably people out there that want to get in on their real estate investing journey, and they really like, do we go to the bank? It's information overload. Like, how do they go get property? Like you said, roll into another one. Like, what the hell does that mean? How do you roll in? You know, how does that look?
Sure. So, you know, when you're buying a property as a primary residence, there's a much lower down payment. And I highly recommend going through mortgage brokers versus banks because they have more options. They're going to be a lot more competitive and the experience is going to be a lot better. So depending on your financial situation, you can qualify for whatever these mortgage brokers say you can qualify for. But a lot of people aren't going to be able to qualify for traditional financing. So for like us, luckily we were able to. And recently, just out of convenience, it's been advantageous for us to go DSCR or other investor loans like that, where the interest rate might be a little bit higher, but if there's free cash flow and that return on the down payment makes sense, then it works. So if I was to make a recommendation for somebody just starting out, I would recommend that you, especially if it's a single person or, you know, just a couple, that you go after a duplex or a single unit with a low down payment. If it's a duplex, rent out one side, live in the other. And if it's a single unit, know that it's a future rental property. Over time, build up for your next down payment to upgrade for whatever reason that you need to. Buy either, you know, go for the duplex if possible, or go for a bigger home, rent out the first one. Or if you bought a duplex, go for a triplex or go for a quad. And continue that process of being able to move up and legitimately buy a property with not a lot of money out of pocket, and the other properties become rentals. And of course, you have to analyze whether they make sense as a rental. You don't want negative cash flow. You don't want the payment to be more than what the rent is that's coming through. And back to your other question about rolling over, obviously, I'm not an accountant. I'm not a CPA. But from what I understand, when you have a primary residence, if you sell it for a profit and you've lived in it for, I believe it's two of the last 5 years, your capital gain on the first, it's $250, I believe, per individual. You don't pay capital gains tax on it. So when I was mentioning rolling over, we had a large gain on one of our properties that we used to live in, moved out of, rented out for a year, and then sold it, and we were able to roll that gain over tax-free into another property.
And last question before we go to Q&A.
Yeah.
What, if anything, you had to start over, your 10 years ago brokerage, whatever, you know, what would you have done different in any of this game, if anything?
I would have started on social media much sooner. I would have been more consistent with social media from the beginning. It's one of the easiest ways to build as many relationships as possible with a large audience. And you can really give back in a lot of good ways that way too, by providing value and information. And that's definitely what I would do. I was not a believer in social media at first.
Either. Yeah, that's huge. Another great answer. Nicole, you are going to get the Q&A started. What you got?
Hey, so I may have missed it, but what did you go for when you first started investing? I mean, would you recommend for someone now to just do straight like the four units and move into one and rent out the other three? Or would you recommend like the BRRRR method? I know you can like mitigate the capital gains, but you know, where would you start if you were to do it all over and start today?
I would start over with, like, if I didn't have the experience that I do now, I would start with either a duplex or a single unit with the intention of turning that single unit into a rental and moving into my second purchase as soon as that's feasible for whatever your situation is. I wouldn't recommend a quad or a triplex or anything bigger than a duplex, just so you can get the experience as a landlord at first. Because it, you know, just like with the property management, as Travis mentioned, it can really throw you for one. So
I've got to 100% agree with that answer. Carson, what you got, man?
Yeah, so, well, I work with Travis on his team, and we obviously do creative finance and wholesaling. I feel like there's a lot of negativity between agents wanting to work with wholesalers. And I kind of just want to figure out, like, what are some ways to go about that so that way they're more willing to work with us?
So I think it's ignorance on the real estate professional's part in a lot of ways, depending on the, you know, it's relationships and it's human to human. I personally was not a fan of wholesaling at first until I started to get to know people, and I stopped caring that they were wholesalers when I was originally engaging them or when they were engaging me. And I just, you know, started having a conversation and tried to figure out where they were coming from. And I 100% agree with you. There is definitely a negative connotation with realtors and investors and wholesalers and creative financing. But if the situation works for the seller and they're legitimate, the deal's going to get done and the seller's happy, and the value's there, then I think it only makes sense in certain situations.
Yeah, because we still get them their 3% commission too. So it's like that's the first thing I tell them. Like as soon as they say like I'm not interested, I'm like, I'll get you your 3%, and then sometimes they start responding to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people are definitely motivated by that, and obviously, like, you know, we're all doing this for a living, so there should be compensation coming in somewhere. But you know, it's a shame when it has to be that way, where you have to show them that they're going to get paid in order for them to, you know, basically do their job.
Yeah, I feel like they just pass up on too many, even though they might be small opportunities that could lead to bigger ones down the road.
Oh, 100%. I have a client that I met as a wholesaler now, and it turned into us doing a wholesale deal together, where because of the relationship that we built, they actually sold it to my client for less than they could have gotten if they would have sent it to the rest of their database. They still paid me, which I wasn't worried about. And I ended up taking a little bit of a discount too, just to help everybody. And that led to them referring me two pieces of business. They referred me a huge listing from somebody they weren't able to come to terms with on a deal that would have been a wholesale for them. And now recently they're working with me on a large multifamily purchase, all from a relationship, which, you know, if they got me at a certain point in my career, I wouldn't have been as open-minded to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
JP, what you got?
Man, this is super awesome. I think my biggest thing is on the time management piece. I'm always impressed by people doing a lot of different, you know, juggling a lot of different pieces every single day. I've started to try and look at, you know, time management myself, and there's a lot of pieces out there. How are you managing your time? Are you doing like, you know, I know a lot of people are doing like 6 hours working on this piece of business, six doing this. So it's a, you know, 3 days in one. I mean, just as items come up, you're just kind of juggling them as they come, or, you know, how are you kind of handling that throughout your daily life?
Yeah, 100%. I'm all about that 6 hour block method. With that, what I also recommend doing is coming up with your to-do list the night before and in your calendar, actually filling it with the different tasks that you're planning on doing for certain times. That way you stay on track. It's very easy to get off course and to waste time and to not stay on track. So time management's huge. And like for me personally, I try to start every single day around six, because we have three kids with another on the way. So I try to get things done before anybody else wakes up. So if I can just go and work and do computer work and respond to emails before anybody else is up and there's no distractions, then that's huge for me. And I'm getting a lot more done than I would once, you know, the actual workday starts, where all the phone calls and all the extra emails start coming in.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. No, I appreciate that. It's so interesting, you know, everybody's got such busy lives, and it's some more than others, but how people tackle it, so interesting.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you?
So you can find me on Facebook, Zachary Greenberg. You can find me on Instagram at Zach Coastal Greenberg, or on our website, coastalrepros.com.
Well, man, well, you have a good evening. Appreciate you coming on again, and we will see you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed what you heard, please refer a friend. It would mean the world to me. And also, if you'd like to learn more about real estate investing, go to www.exclusivehousinginvestors.com. If you're interested in joining the mastermind group, email me at Travis@exclusivehousingtexas.com.